Some say Chinese is one of the most difficult languages in the world, and learning it is almost impossible.
So learning Chinese, the most difficult thing.
非常难.
So I'm sort of tone deaf. I can't really hear them.
I think the cultural mindset is the biggest complication for
the grammar.
知吃思吃都还难.
It's just complicated. So much.
Only because you're not learning it in the right way. Why not try Takeaway Chinese, where you can take some Chinese away and experience progress day by day. Takeaway Chinese, we will promise you a difference.
Welcome to Takeaway Chinese. I'm Niu Honglin, and joining me today, Miss Georgia Massad. Hello, Georgia.
Hello, everyone. It's always so nice to be here.
It's great to have you. I remember you telling me that you are a fan of traveling around. You're an enthusiastic traveler, are you?
I actually am. I try as much as I can as a student whenever I have the occasion to go somewhere and to explore something new.
Then you should definitely come to China because it has a lot to offer. But before doing that, let me ask you, are you impressed by the local architecture when you travel around? Do you notice it more than other elements, for example?
Actually, I think that if we're visiting a big city or a city in general, we'd never notice it, but architecture is one of the first things that strikes us and one of the main differences between cities and not only between countries. Only speaking about, for example, European countries, there are big differences from one to another, so I can't even imagine. And this feeling you have of seeing big skyscrapers, for example, that I saw in New York, and then some little houses in Greece. So I think the architecture is the most striking aspect of a country, and it's the one we notice first, even without having a big, for example, I don't have a very big architecture knowledge, but at the same time, we can see if there's a an influence of, for example, Arabic architecture or a more Western one, and we can see it without having this kind of knowledge, I think.
Yes, and the situation here in China is that because it's a vast country, it has a lot of different styles of architecture as well. Since ancient times, of course, you can see a lot of ancient architectures with traditional characteristics. But in the meantime, there are, even for the ancient ones, if they are, for example, with royal purposes, if it's a palace, or if it's only a architecture that's built by common people, by farmers, by merchants, by high officials, they can all be different. And if we are talking about architectures in different places, they can also feature different styles. So even though today's episode, those very smart audience and listeners must have already guessed, is traditional Chinese architecture, or in general, Chinese architecture versus Western architecture. Actually, we're also doing a little bit of generalizing as well, because there are so many different styles. But we can start from here, and in the future, maybe we can take Takeaway Chinese to some outdoor areas, into the real China, and see these places. And you know what I'm talking about. You know why I say they can be all called Chinese architecture, 中式建筑. At the same time, they can be so different.
I completely agree. And it's good to generalize sometimes, especially when we're covering such a big area or such a big focus.
Topic, yes.
It's when we're covering such a big topic. So I think that from here, we can only get less generalized, but we have to start from the differences
somewhere
between the two countries. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's good. I can't wait.
Yeah. So for our dear listeners, if you're interested in Chinese culture and you want to get a grip on the Chinese language, then this is the show for you. Stick with us for 30 minutes and you soon see the rewards. And for more fun Chinese learning, follow our Facebook page, Learn Chinese, to watch many fun videos and live streams. But now, let's provide you with some free Chinese for a takeaway.
中西方都有宫殿建筑, 但风格真是差很多啊。
确实, 像中国的紫禁城, 布局对称, 气势恢宏, 法国的凡尔赛宫则金碧辉煌, 让人感到尊贵奢华。
没错,
虽然他们风格迥异，但都展现了各自文化的独特魅力，
都值得我们欣赏和研究。
中西方都有宫殿建筑，但风格真是差很多啊。
确实，像中国的紫禁城布局对称气势恢宏，法国的凡尔赛宫则金碧辉煌，让人感到尊贵奢华。
没错，虽然他们风格迥异，但都展现了各自文化的独特魅力，
都值得我们欣赏和研究。
See, in this conversation, we focus more on traditional Chinese architectures because I have to admit, in my opinion, there are a lot of very talented and really good architectures in modern China as well. But the traditional ones are the dearest to my heart. They carry so much history and so much culture, and I would recommendanyone visiting China to appreciate these very beautiful palace, very beautiful yards, and just these Chinese style architectures.
I agree. And I think our two friends from the dialogue have a deep understanding of both architectures and have chosen this. I don't even have the words to describe the Forbidden Cities and the Palais de Versailles. And there are such good examples to draw some differences.And something everyone can know, even if they haven't visited, but have a knowledge of both.
Yes, and I think these beautiful architectures really do deserve some big words that we're about to learn today. Okay, so let's take a look. For the first sentence, 中西方都有宫殿建筑，但风格真是差很多啊。
There are palaces both in China and in the West.But their styles are so distinctly different.
Yes. So, 中西方
中国, so China.
Yes, so 中 represents China. And 西
The West.
Uh-huh, the West. So, 中西 and 方
The aspects of yes. both China and the West.
Yes, that's how you do it. So, 中西方都有
They both are.
Or
both or all.
Or both have. So if you
both
say,
have.
Yes, so both the Chinese and the Western part of the world have 宫殿建筑宫殿
Palaces,
宫殿 So we know 故宫 is the forbidden city, but it's also the imperial palace. So 宫殿 together means palace, 建筑
Architecture.
So, 建 carries the meaning of build, and 住 is the thing that you build. So, 建筑 architecture. 但
But,
风格
the style.
Style, it's very important. The style can be the style of architecture, can be the style of a fashion trend, a clothes, or even a person. So, 风格
The style of a person also.
Yes, yes. And 真是
There really is.
差
Differences.
很多
Are many. The differences are many.
Yes, you can understand it as the differences are many or they differ quite so much. So 差 means different, but I think here it's a verb. So 差很多 means they differ quite distinctively.
差很多。
确实，像中国的紫禁城，布局对称，气势恢宏。
Absolutely. Take, for example, the Forbidden City in China. It is symmetrical in layout and grand in scale.
确实。
Absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure. So, 确实 would be used in a relatively a little more formal way than 是呀是的 something like that. So, 确实 indeed, absolutely.
It's very similar to 其实
其实 is actually, 确实 is indeed, yes, yes, yes. The pronunciation can be a little bit misleading, but actually 确实 and 其实 are quite different. And in the meantime, I would strongly suggest those of you who have a higher level of Chinese language to learn the characters because we only have really limited sounds. And if you rely on pinyin for a while, that's definitely okay. But after a while, you're going to have to learn the characters because the characters can be different. And there are around 300 really commonly used characters in China. And once you master that, actually other characters are basically formed with the existing ones or adjust a little bit with the existing ones. It's easier to build on it. But knowing characters can be very, very useful.
Absolutely. And I think at the beginning, I'm not talking as an expert, absolutely, but it's difficult to switch from pinyin to characters, but then it makes totally sense. After a little effort, it's actually easier because it makes more sense in characters than in pinyin.
Yes.
But it can help.
It definitely helps. And then we have xiang.
Xiang, in this case, to take as an example, as a similarity.
You can still translate it as like, because in English, like, you also say, well, there are different things like painting, calligraphy. You see, you use it the same way. So, 像.
It's true.
中国.
Chinese, in China.
紫禁城.
The Forbidden City.
The Forbidden City. Actually, 紫 is purple. 禁 carries the meaning of forbidden, and 城 is city. In ancient China, we believe the color 紫色, purple, 红色, red, and golden, 金色. These are all very, very lucky, fortunate kind of color. For example, if you say 紫气东来, 气 is atmosphere or air, 紫 we know is purple, 东方 is the east, and Lai is calm. So if you say 紫气东来, the purple aurora or the purple air, the purple atmosphere is coming from the east, then you're saying something really good is about to happen.
Ah, 紫气东来.
Yes.
I didn't know about the color purple. I knew about red. I'm using it quite often. I love the color red as a sign of good fortune. So next time, my hair will be purple.
That's great. That's very lovely. So 紫禁城, that's the Forbidden City. And then we have 布局对称.
布局对称, the overall symmetric.
Yes, actually 布局 is the layout and 对称 is symmetric. So 布局对称, you're saying mostly the architectures are symmetric. And 气势恢宏.
The great in scale,
yes.
Imposing great.
Actually, 气势恢宏 is a Chinese idiom. 气势 is the vibe you're sending out, and 恢宏 means grand. So 气势恢宏, it's grand in scale. 法国的凡尔赛宫则金碧辉煌，让人感到尊贵奢华.
And the Palace of Versailles in France is magnificent and glittery, exuding an air of luxury and opulence.
Do you agree, by the way?
I completely agree.
Okay, so 法国.
In France.
Mm-hmm. 凡尔赛宫.
Versailles, le Palais de Versailles.
Yeah, as you can see, this is basically a literal translation. So it's translated based on the pronunciation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So 凡尔赛宫, 则 actually is used to form the sentence. It's like saying on the other hand without actually saying it. So you put it in the sentence, you say 她很美. 而他则很有气质. So they're saying this person is very beautiful, but the other person has quite the quality. So see, you're not saying on the other hand, but you're suggesting it almost.
Okay, mm-hmm. I never seen it, but it's very useful without, I always say that, but it actually, everything is useful. And not to say it on the other hand, but mentioning it without making it too obvious.
Yes, a little bit like that. And we also have 金碧辉煌, another idiom.
金碧辉煌, magnificent and glittering.
Yes, we know 金 is the color gold and 碧 is the color green, which is also the color of jade. And 辉煌 is magnificent. So you're describing a scene where gold is the major color and the entire place is decorated with this very bright and shiny and glittering color, and it's grand, it's magnificent. So 金碧辉煌, that's how you use the word.
I think that couldn't be a more appropriate way of describing the Palace of Versailles. And it's almost a word for it.
I'm glad you feel that way. And then we have 让人感到。
It makes people feel.
Perfect. So 让 literally make 人 people 感到 feel. 尊贵奢华。
Magnificent and luxurious.
Yes. So 尊贵奢华 I don't think it's exactly an idiom, but it's definitely a set phrase. So 尊贵 is magnificent or actually a high position. 奢华 is luxurious. So 尊贵奢华 I use it to describe this very high class kind of feeling.
尊贵奢华。
没错。虽然他们风格迥异，但都展现了各自文化的独特魅力。
That's right. Even though they are very different, they each have a unique charm that reflects their own culture.
Perfect. 没错。
没错 you're correct.
嗯哼，虽然。
Even though.
他们。
They.
风格迥异。
Their style differs. Their style is different.
Yes. Again, 风格迥异 is a Chinese idiom. If you say 他们的风格不一样, their styles are different, or 他们风格不同, it actually conveys the message. It's just 风格迥异 carries the meaning that their styles are really different. So
okay.
It's an idiom stressing the level of differences.
Is it a better way of saying it?
Yes, yes.I think it's a more sophisticated way.
I love this dialogue. We're learning so many sophisticated words.
Yes, yes, we are. 风格迥异。但
But
都
All and both in this case.
Yes, 展现。
展现 to display.
嗯哼。各自
Each, every.
Yes, each other or respectively. 文化。
文化 culture.
嗯哼。独特魅力。
Their unique charm.
Unique charm. 独特 is unique and 魅力 is the charm. And yes, 独特的魅力 unique charm. In my opinion, it's also kind of like a set phrase or at least a connotation that you should remember. So 独特的魅力 a very special charm, a very unique charm. 独特魅力。
独特的魅力。
Mm-hmm. Here in this sentence, we learned 风格迥异, which means very, very different. Do you remember in the previous sentences, there is another word or expression meaning differences or very different?
差不多。
差不多 and 差很多。Actually,
差不多。
Yes, 差不多 would be similar, whereas 差很多 would be very, very different. I know I have just said 风格迥异 is a more sophisticated way, but you cannot use sophisticated expressions to describe everything. Actually, sometimes you have to use some down-to-earth, very common ways to describe it. And 差不多 and 差很多definitely can be very helpful. So 差不多 we know is not that different and 差很多 means very, very different. So let's try to use it in one sentence. I can say, for example, 这两个词的意思差不多但是用法差很多。Can you understand it?
Oh, the meaning of this word, two words, are basically the same.But their usages are very different.
See, it's quite clear and it's also easy to use 差不多 and 差很多 in a sentence. You can say, there is a big difference between her age and her husband's age. Not to be gossip, just to, for the purpose of practicing Chinese.
她和她老公的年龄差很多。
Yeah, see, again, not for the purpose of gossiping, but that's how you do it.
Can I ask you if 差很多 has a negative connotation or is it neutral and it actually depends on whether we're gossiping or not?
I think it's definitely neutral. You can use it to describe anything and whether or not we're gossiping or whether or not there is a negative connotation depends on the conversation, on the context.
Okay, and it's useful to have a more down-to-earth way, making comparisons. When we're talking about the Palais de Versailles or the Forbidden City, it's good to elevate our tone and our words. But sometimes during our day-to-day conversation, 差不多 差很多 are very, very useful, I think.
Yes, yes. And then we have another sentence in the conversation, 都值得我们欣赏和研究。
都值得我们。欣赏和研究, they both deserve our admiration and are worth studying.
Yeah, perfect. 都 we know is both. 值得.
Deserve.
Deserve. 你值得, you deserve. We use this quite so much in Chinese now as well.
Really?
Yes, it's like saying you deserve all the best and you don't have to say anything else. You just say, ah, 你值得, you deserve it. Something like that.
Oh, it's a morning mantra. 我觉得。
我们。
Our.
Yes. 欣赏。
Appreciation, admiration.
嗯哼。和研究。
研究, research and study.
Research and study. Yes, perfect. So that's the conversation. Do you have any questions?
Actually, don't. It was a very, I don't want to say complicated, but I learned many, many new words.
That's great. Let's give it a go then.
总西方都有宫殿建筑，但风格真是差很多啊。
确实，像中国的紫禁城，布局对称，气势恢宏。法国的凡尔赛宫则金碧辉煌，让人感到尊贵奢华。
没错。虽然他们风格迥异，但都展现了各自文化的独特魅力，
都值得我们欣赏和研究。You're listening to Takeaway Chinese with myself, Niu Honglin, and Georgia. We would love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts via email to learnchinese@cri.com.cn. Coming up next, let's compare the Chinese-style architectures and the Western-style architectures. Don't go away, so you will take some Chinese away. Welcome back to Takeaway Chinese. I'm Niu Honglin, joined by Georgia. So Georgia, if you have to compare Chinese style architectures versus Western style architectures, again, generalizing a little bit by calling all the architectures in the West as Western style architectures, it's just for, because you're on the same continent and the styles would affect each other more closely. And that leads to similar, relatively similar. I know there are a lot of differences. I'm just saying relatively similar. That is why for Chinese people, our style can be very different from yours. And that's why we would say 中式建筑 and 西式建筑. So the Chinese style versus the Western style. But you can sometimes also say 东西方建筑. So the West versus the East. But I think the gesture is the same. That is to try to compare different styles of architecture. So in your opinion, what is the major difference?
Well, I think that in my opinion, of course, generalizing and also taking the Eastern as a whole, even though I know that in between same China, there are very architecture different, whether you're in countryside or in a big city. But I think that on my point of view, one of the biggestdifferences are in the materials that are used.
材料。
材料。
Yes, we say 建筑材料, so architecture material.
建筑材料。
Perfect.
So I think this is, Western are using brick, concrete, and stones, compared to maybe bamboo, some weeds, and natural materials. This is, I think, and also, well, the style,of the architecture, also some of the decorations that are used. And for example, coming in my mind, Western style has a lot of decorations outside, for example, churches and also very big buildings. It depends, of course, on the period of time we're referring to, but usually there's a lot of decorations that maybe the Chinese architecture doesn't have as much.And it's more symmetrical and more in harmony with nature once again.
Yes, I think the funny thing is that if I think about certain examples, I would say, yes, Chinese architectures can be quite symmetrical. In the same time, Western ones can be quite symmetrical as well. And we also see a lot of beautiful palaces built in gardens. So you cannot say Western style architectures are not close to nature. If I have to definitely pick out one character that Chinese architectures have and Western ones do not have, I would say many of the Chinese style architectures or even gardens, you get to see that the architecture itself, the buildings are basically hidden.In nature. They're hidden in not only sometimes forests, sometimes bamboo forests, and sometimes a lot of different plants and flowers. That, I don't see a lot of that in Western architectures or Western style gardening per se, but I think in general, the funny thing is, it's hard to point exactly what is something that the Western style architecture definitely don't have and the Chinese style architecture definitely have. Yet, the moment you look at a traditional Chinese style architecture, you can recognize it's in the details. We say the devil's in the details. Chinese people say that as well. So, 细节决定成败. We would like to say the details are the defining element in a lot of occasions. And the details are the most important. It's in the detail of a tiny decorative sculpture that's almost hidden beside the architecture. It's in the use of color, or the matching of different colors. So I think we really have the experience of traveling in both China and Western countries to actually understand the difference in style.
I completely agree. And I actually can't wait to see both and draw a comparison also between both and have these striking differences, but not only, as you mentioned. I wanted to say, I completely agree, both generalizing, if coming to mind, I'm thinking about the Palais de Versailles, but also Reggio di Caserta in Italy and some other big palaces. I don't know why I'm thinking about palaces, maybe because we mentioned some
in the conversation.
Yes, this feeling, this attachment to nature is present in both, and both have very big gardens. And I think the difference is in the use of this garden. I would say, but correct me if I'm wrong, in the Chinese architecture, the man is one with nature. And for this reason, architecture is trying to have a dialogue with nature and not a lot of difference. Try to have this dialogue between architecture and nature where people can actually stroll around and contemplate nature in harmony with plants, pavilions, and these kind of things, while in Western architecture, the palace stands out and the garden is there. It's magnificent, but it doesn't represent the nature and the garden they're in.
That much, yes. Yes, I agree. And also, over the past years, China has been paying attention to the protection of historical buildings, not only in China, but also in other Asian countries. Take Beijing as an example. The city has issued guidelines for protecting historical buildings from 2019 to 2021. Beijing released a list of a total of 1,056 historical buildings in three batches. These buildings, which span some 700 years, spread across 11 districts within the city. With diverse functions and architectural styles, they constitute an important part of Beijing's rich historical and cultural heritage, and authorities will distinguish between the preservation and renewal aspects of a historical building in order to avoid the one-size-fits-all measures and ensure better revitalization and utilization of the buildings, because there are just too many of these traditional architectures out there in China. And we have to make sure we set our priorities straight, making sure that they are repaired in the proper way. We have a saying in Chinese, 修旧如旧. Yes, so 修 means to repair, to amend. 旧 is the old, and 如 is like. 旧, the old. So when you're repairing the old, don't try to paint something on it. Don't try to make it look like a modern architecture. You should try to make it remain its traditional, its original look. And that is the main principle that a lot of people who are dedicating their work into protecting these traditional architectures are following. So that is also something I think worth mentioning.
I think it's very important to preserve and also to build international cooperation in the field of architecture in order to preserve also other countries. For example, I know I've read that China has pledged to work with other countries in Asia in order to protect cultural heritage. And for this reason, I think that in this case of architecture and many other fields, international cooperation with other Asian countries is extremely important in order to protect archaeological projects and also architectures.
Totally, and hopefully more and more future generations would be able to appreciate these, maybe not fine art, but magnificent art form that we love so much. And that brings us to the end of today's Takeaway Chinese. I'm Niu Honglin with Georgia Massette for the show. For more episodes, you can visit our website at radio.cgtn.com and go to the column podcast. You can also listen to the show and read the script there. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just search for Takeaway Chinese. Don't forget to leave your questions, comments, and ratings. 感谢收听,我们下次再见。
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. 再见。